Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatar Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Govinda Jai Jai, Gopala Jai Jai. Govinda Jai Jai, Gopala Jai Jai. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jai Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jai Jaya. Govinda Jai Jaya, Gopala Jai Jaya. Govinda Jai Jaya, Gopala Jai Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jai Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jai Jaya. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Tai Gaur Hari Bol. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Tai Gaur Hari Bol. Jai Jai Prabhupada 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 Jai Jai Prabhupada. Jaya Chandra Harmonium, Sayre Blue Cartels, Hare Krishna Chanters, Gopemanande, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol. Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Pishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagradatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvututam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo, Dinabando Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanda, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Rishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha, Kripa Sindubhyevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Maharaj was saying that we did Haribol for the harmonist and for the kartalist. We should also do a Haribol to the Hare Krishna dancers. There was Malini Mataji. She was dancing in the car. She was listening.
What's she doing in the car?
She was driving. Oh. She was driving into it and I saw her outside.
We won't tell the highway patrol that.
She was listening to the live here in the car?
Yeah, on the phone. So those of you who are watching online or listening on the through the telephone, dedicated telephone line. The number to text in comments and questions tonight is 650-245-7018. 650-245-7018. That is, if you want to text in questions or comments, text them to 650-245-7018. We'd like to hear from you, so please keep in touch. Tonight we're talking about the art of cooperation, and the word itself means to work together because it comes from co, which means together, and operare, which is a Latin word which means to work, so to work together. And cooperation is highly valued everywhere in the world, practically, because we are individuals. However, to get anything done, we have to cooperate with others. And in spiritual life as well, there's a premium on cooperation. And we're going to discuss tonight what it is, how to better cooperate, and also why it's such an austerity. Before Srila Prabhupada left us, he emphasized cooperation. In fact, he did throughout his life. So did his spiritual master. And it seems to be hard to do after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left the world. The remaining members in his society had disagreements on many different aspects of managing the society, and eventually broke into small mutts or pieces instead of being a unified movement, which they were when their spiritual master was with them. They divided up and each went their own direction. Now, granted, that sometimes easier to just go off on your own and quote-unquote, do your own thing, because then you have a smaller group of people to work with, and you can pretty much do what you like. However, when you have to coexist and cooperate with others who may differ in their opinions about how to manage things and certain spiritual points, then it becomes more difficult. So it is an austerity to cooperate. In fact, oftentimes I've said that especially in the Kali Yuga, when quarrel seems to be more prevalent, doesn't seem to be, it is. Shastrically, we can confirm this from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that to remain together and try to work things out and cooperate with others seems more difficult than sitting in a blazing fire amidst the hot weather, or keeping oneself submerged up to the neck in cold water in the freezing winter, which is what some yogis do to perform extra austerity, to detach themselves from bodily existence. More difficult than that is to cooperate, to get along, to learn how to work out our differences and to not hold grudges and so forth. This is the most difficult of all austerities. But as we'll see tonight from the Srimad Bhagavatam, such cooperation for the sake of pleasing Krishna, for the sake of serving Krishna, which is pleasing to him, cooperating for the sake of serving Krishna is very pleasing to Krishna. How do we know this? Well, it's written right in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you turn on some of the other lights as well? Let there be light. And here's a very famous section of the Srimad Bhagavatam from the 4th canto, 30th chapter, starting with text number 8. Haribo. And this is in the chapter called The Activities of the Prachetas. And the Prachetas had cooperated, worked together, and performed their austerities underwater to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They had invoked the goodwill of Lord Shiva, who came and gave them a special mantra to chant through which they could attain complete perfection in life. And also, they got darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. And here's what he said to them. My dear sons of the king, I am very much pleased by the friendly relationships among you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I am so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction from me. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Since the sons of King Prachinabharishat were all united in Krishna consciousness, the Lord was very pleased with them. Each and every one of the sons of King Prachinabharishat was an individual soul, but they were united in offering transcendental service to the Lord. The unity of the individual souls attempting to satisfy the Supreme Lord or rendering service to the Lord is real unity. In the material world, such unity is not possible. Even though people may officially unite, they all have different interests. In the United Nations, for instance, all the nations have their particular national ambitions, and consequently, they cannot be united. Disunity between individual souls is so strong within this material world that even in a society of Krishna consciousness, members sometimes appear disunited due to having different opinions and leaning toward material things. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be two opinions. There is only one goal, to serve Krishna to one's best ability. If there is some disagreement over service, such agreement, disagreement, is to be taken as spiritual. Those who are actually engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be disunited in any circumstance. This makes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very happy and willing to award all kinds of benedictions to his devotees, as indicated in this verse. We can see that the Lord is immediately prepared to award all benedictions to the sons of King Prachinabharishat. And the next verse is also noteworthy. It doesn't have a purport, but I'll read the translation. This is 4:38. And this is 4.30.9. The Lord continued, those who remember you every evening and every day will become friendly with their brothers and with all other living entities. So here the Supreme Personality of Godhead is noting that the Prachetas had a mutual friendship, friendly relationships among themselves, and they worked together for one purpose, and that was to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Lord Kapiladev describes devotional service, which is affected by the modes of material nature. And the characteristic of devotional service that is practiced when it's contaminated by the modes of material nature is that one develops a separatist mentality. And this means that one has a separate interest from the Lord. In other words, he's thinking of his own interest and performing devotional service for some kind of reward, material reward, some personal benefit, not for the benefit of the Lord. And this is not entirely favorable devotional service. And when somebody has a vested interest and is not interested in serving the Lord, who is the center of everything, then there's a way in which there's division and difference of opinion, and it's very difficult to continue in a united way. Whereas when we can suspend our individual needs and wants for the sake of the whole, then we can better cooperate. Now, it doesn't mean we give up our individuality altogether. In fact, Prabhupada asked the devotees to all come to Sri Dham Mayapur, all the devotees, that means all the devotees within his ISKCON movement. And each and every one, he said, should come every year. And among you, you should discuss how to have unity in diversity. Because obviously people come from different cultures, different backgrounds, they're different ages. And doesn't it seem that everyone has their own individual needs? I mean, young people want to do what they want to do. Older people have a certain mindset. And amongst different cultures, we find in other countries that when there's a certain culture, people tend to congregate together. Even from the same country, there are certain divisions of that country, like certain regions of a major continent. And notice I'm not mentioning any names. Because you can superimpose your own image from any continent. But Southerners, Northerners, Westerners, Easterners, they all tend to congregate together and relate to one another based on their bodily similarities, and to segregate based on their bodily differences. And how does one then form an international society under one banner that is able to accommodate people from all different societies and ages, cultures, and have them work together? Now, it's pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead when devotees are able to do that. So it's good to know about and to discuss how to cooperate. What is cooperation? And also to know that that's a goal of devotional service. In his recent presentation to the body of leaders of ISKCON, Rabindra Swarup Prabhu had done some research and presented a paper about the Prabhupada as the founder acharya of ISKCON, and what the title meant, what it means, what it meant historically, and so forth. And in the process of presenting that paper, he also brought out certain statements Prabhupada made about cooperation for the sake of pleasing Krishna, and how practically, in Prabhupada's eyes, it was synonymous with bhakti. The ability to cooperate together in order to please Krishna was practically synonymous with bhakti. And therefore, we're tonight talking about this. What are some of the ways in which we can become conscious of cooperation? And there are many different opportunities to cooperate. Grihasthas, for example, have daily opportunities to cooperate with each other. Because, for instance, just as an example, random example, the husband and wife living in one house may have, possibly, different ways of doing things. And how do they work together? Now, of course, in America, there's high rate of separation and divorce, because oftentimes it just doesn't work out. You say, oh, we can't work together. And you know, people split up for all kinds of reasons, in marriages and in corporations and in spiritual groups too. We find that sometimes people can't work together. We've even seen brahmacharis traveling together in one van who might have a difference of opinion and then say, okay, you go north, I'll go south. You know, we can't work together. So what are those what is it that enables cooperation? So now we'll take a few comments and reflections, what we've talked about so far, and if you have suggestions about how you want to discuss the elements of cooperation. I have some preconceived notions, but I want to hear what you're all thinking. And Narendra is first, and so let's get the microphones flowing. And if you have a comment, those of you who are watching from outside, please text to 650-245-7018. That's 650-245-7018. Our operators are standing by to take your texts. Narendra Prabhu.
I was a little surprised.
Hold that microphone right close to you.
I was a little surprised to hear the topic, cooperation, because I personally don't do anything for myself. I don't like to do. Okay, let's say I'm not that high up in devotion, so I may do it. That's my shortcomings. But I'm doing everything for Lord Krishna. How can I cooperate? How can I discooperate? I cannot, because whatever God, if he, Lord Krishna tells me to fight with a guy, I'll fight. I don't care about my cooperation or non-cooperation. Hanumanji. Hanumanji will do anything what Ram says. He didn't cooperate with Ravana, because that is what Lord Ram's order was there. So cooperation and non-cooperation doesn't mean anything in the spiritual world. But well, yes, in the.
So if I understand you correctly, you're saying that you're vitally interested in cooperating with Krishna.
That's where it starts, right? That's one element.
So maybe we're on to something here. It's cooperation begins with cooperating with Krishna's order. And if it doesn't match up with others, then you can make a contract saying that I'll be non-cooperative with others. Okay, go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. At first, I'm absolutely excited and so very happy to be sitting here and being in person in person with all of you after 2 months. There are a couple of points I had. At the beginning when you started the lecture and mentioned about Prabhupada and then later the groups when their ways, the thing that first came to my mind was when I was in Mayapur last year, February 2012, and Chaitanya Mataji has her place over there, and when I went to her place, outside of her apartment, it was Prabhupada's quote, where Prabhupada said that your love towards me would be reflected in how you work together to keep this organization long after I'm gone. So that was...
It's a good point, and it's not simply a dry mantra. If you look carefully, Prabhupada saw what happened with the previous institution, the Gaudiya Math. There is a sense that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to see a worldwide organization, and that was based on the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see that, as he said, every town and village would have the opportunity to take up the Yuga Dharma. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur picked up that spirit, passed it on to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, who endeavored to make a countrywide organization that cooperated under one banner, and also he then pushed out to other countries to get it to spread. It didn't work in his time, going to the other countries, but Prabhupada saw that this was a great value to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to the Acharyas, and he did emphasize this, that he wanted the devotees to work together to cooperate in order to be efficient in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. And not only that, as we mentioned, there's a premium on this cooperation because it's pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You had another point.
Yes, and another point was at the end of this, you mentioned before taking the comments, you mentioned, so how do you cooperate? And the thought that I had was you tend to cooperate shouldn't say easily, but readily when there is a common purpose, when there is a common goal. And one of the examples was when, at one point in time, when I had received the service opportunity of cutting out, of preparing for the feast, and I was cutting the vegetables, I was doing it for the first time. So I was asking around, and I was very happily receiving instructions and doing what others were telling me to do, because the goal was one. And we were all serving the common purpose. So that was one thing. Thank you.
So common goal is very important. Shraddha?
Hansapriya Mataji is on the phone. She wants to say something.
Okay, go ahead. Hansapriya is on the phone. Technical difficulties. We can't hear you. Star 6. We need some more volume. Hold on, Hansapriya. Our technicians are rushing to the rescue to get the volume up on your call. Try now. Hansapriya.
I wanted to say thank you for choosing this topic, because it's like visiting the basics, and I feel like how the foundation is stronger if, you know, the cooperation is bred in us. And you kind of reminded me of that being dependent is also easy to do, and being interdependent being dependent is easy, and being not dependent is also easy, but interdependent is very hard. So I just felt like it's good that, you know, you mentioned talking about this topic, because being dependent doesn't work, and being independent doesn't work. So so I think that interdependency that you know has a lot to do with the cooperation if that base is clear, if the basics are clear. So thank you for talking on this.
Thank you for calling in. And this is a nice point. I'll just reiterate it so everyone understands what she was saying. There's three different positions one can take: dependent, independent, and interdependent. This is what she was saying. In fact, this is a model that the author of The Seven Secrets of Highly Successful, or Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, Stephen Covey, had written about, that oftentimes people end up or begin in an organization as dependents. For instance, we see oftentimes that children are born into the Krishna consciousness movement, and they grow up as devotees, and they're dependent. And at a certain point, a large percentage of them become independent, because this is a natural progression. People who are dependent oftentimes reconsider their position and want to find out for themselves, have more objectivity than see, do I really believe this? Or am I doing it because of cultural momentum? Or why am I doing it? I've seen it many times. And in fact, some devotees who aren't even born in the movement may join the movement and then find themselves dependent, and then become, at a certain point, independent. And that often gives them an objective way to look and see, as we hear in Sri Ashupanishad, Anyarevahur vidyaya anyarahur vidyaya iti shushumati ranam yenas tadvichichakshare. One result is obtained from getting spiritual knowledge or transcendental knowledge. Another result is obtained from getting knowledge that is mundane, or that we call nations. And similarly, one result is obtained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes, and a different result is obtained by worshipping that which is not supreme. So one who might be in the middle of a Krishna conscious organization and then somehow or other lose his or her taste and begin to think, why am I here? Maybe nations is better. Maybe I should be on my own. Maybe I should reject Krishna consciousness. And then we see oftentimes it happens. People just all of a sudden they say, okay, I'm not a devotee anymore. So now they have an objective view. Now you can see from another point of view. What's your life like now? You can
then experience. Vidyam cha vidyam. What, take a look and see both sides. And now we find that someone who has been in Krishna consciousness, then they reject it and become independent, or maybe not even reject it, but they become independent and they say, I'll practice in my own way. And they go away from the society of devotees for one reason or another. After some time, if they decide, actually, these are my values. I do want to surrender to Krishna, and I do value the association of devotees. Then they come back, and they'll say, I'm going to be part of this, and I'll surrender, and I'll cooperate, because I want to. Not because I'm dependent, or not because there's some momentum, but out of full knowledge, because they've seen both sides. Vidyam cha vidyam chayas tadvedo bayam saha. Tadvedo bhayam saha avidyayam ratum tirtva vidyayam ratum ashnute. Only one who can practice nescience and transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. There's a way in which somebody sees the contrast and then they willingly decide to take to Krishna consciousness. That's always the most powerful and the most stable situation, because until someone actually decides, that's what I want to do, they can be disturbed or interrupted in their service. But once somebody internally decides that I'm going to surrender and I'll do whatever it takes to cooperate, to be part of the association of devotees, then they can't be separated. Their service cannot be stopped. Because the only way that our service can be stopped or that we can be separated from the association of devotees is that I have an internal desire to do so, or I'm unsure, I have a doubt, and therefore I become disturbed. It starts internally. Shraddha, you had a point? Oh, you didn't? Okay. Yes, Sunny.
What is the third one, the independent?
Now, you're going to have to use the microphone because this is an internationally broadcast program.
Hare Krishna Babuji. You are mentioning that three different kind of the dependence, independence, and that interdependence. I was wondering what is that independence?
Interdependence.
Yes.
It means cooperation. It means that you depend on, you give of yourself and you depend on others to give of themselves. You work together in Krishna consciousness so that you can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Interdependence is synonymous with cooperation. And we can say more about cooperation as we go on. We can define it even more. Gandharvika?
So, Prabhuji, I was hearing this interesting lecture from Govinda Prabhu. He was saying that in the entire Mahabharata, there is not even one instance when the Kauravas had discussion or not cooperated. But the Pandavas, they always, like Yudhishthira has one point, Bhima has one point, Indra has another point. But then he was saying that when sense gratification becomes the goal, then cooperation becomes automatic because the goal is the same. But then, when sense gratification is the goal. But then he was saying that the Brahmanas are very learned and it's very difficult to like agree on points and things like that. But then he was saying that when they cooperate, then it's for the benefit of the society, like that. But you talked about the point that to please Krishna, Pandavas had Krishna and they had someone to correct and all that. But as neophytes, pleasing Krishna may be the highest point and we may have to develop our consciousness and all that. But in the beginning stages, what does it really mean to cooperate at the physical level, at the mental level and at the spiritual level? Like what should be our goal? Because we may be cooperating but we may break when we are with our closed ones. We may not follow the principles. So in this seminar, I would like to know that.
Well, one thing is you mentioned a common goal, and whether it's sense gratification or a spiritual goal, the goal has to be there. Otherwise, there is no cooperation. Corporations go on because they have to reach the goal. They got to make money. And, you know, they have other values as well. That's oversimplification. But there's a way in which a corporate means body. It means you're an entity and you have a goal, you have a vision. Without a vision or a mission, there is no, you know, real cooperation. And also in the process of cooperating, there may be adjustment periods. I mean, cooperation isn't static. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're a robot. You're an automaton. You just go along with everything mindlessly. But as you brought up a really nice point, there may be less cooperation amongst munis or devotees because, as Prabhupada said, devotees should be independently thoughtful. Now, how do independently thoughtful people cooperate? You know, that's an interesting topic. But there is a way that we have to, just as in the topic of balance, which is another seminar suggested by Bhaktin Lacey, which is coming up soon, talking about balance, how to balance our lives, our spiritual, material lives, and everything else, our health and our fervor for, you know, getting up early and not eating and things like that. So in cooperation, there may be trial periods where we're testing the way that we work with other people. And sometimes, as I said, as Hansapriya brought up, there's this progression of dependence, independence, then interdependence. And sometimes in an organization, we find devotees coming and going as they're trying to cooperate. You know, they move back for a little while and say, I don't think I like you guys anymore. And then after a while, they think, well, they weren't so bad after all. These other guys aren't so nice either. And then they come closer. So there's a kind of influx and outflux of, you know, devotees as they're endeavoring to cooperate and find that balance. Yashoda Kumar, I think you were next. You had grabbed the microphone. Go ahead. Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. One thing that comes to my mind about cooperation is that trust. That, you know, one thing that blocks the cooperation is that, you know, there needs to be a lot of trust between me and, you know, the environment. So if that trust is there, the cooperation is automatic. If the trust is somehow lacking, then, you know, then there's this mentality.
Powerful point. You two are getting all this down, right? Gandharvika and Malini, definitely. So keep all these notes. We want to go over these at the end and see what we've come up with. Yashoda Kumar?
In the beginning, you said about devotional service in three kinds of most material nature. As far as I understand, there is three kinds of cooperation too in different kinds of modes of material nature. Like example, we can see how materialistic people like politicians can easily cooperate against somebody in a very spontaneous way because motivation is envy.
Mm.
And they can cooperate in modes of ignorance or maybe modes of passion. So probably there is three kinds of cooperation and three kinds of modes natural.
Nice point. Yeah, cooperation in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, in the mode of goodness. Did you have a point? And then we'll go to Malini.
Actually, I didn't mean just that one saying, I think it was said by Henry Ford, but I could be very well wrong, and it is like, coming together is the beginning, staying together is progress, working together is success. I think in similarly, working together is the cooperate. The interesting portion of the word co is that the thought that came to my mind is if somebody's working on writing a research paper, and often in a research paper there's more than one author, and so you have a co-author, and what that means is each one of them is doing their bit, but the entire goal is one, is to come up with that paper and to bring that paper out there. So similarly, cooperate is where individually is operating, but you operate together, you cooperate, you work together towards a common goal.
Right. More of the definition. I think that, you know, talking about motive is very important. Malini, go ahead. Because quoting another, you know, historical personality, Henry S. Truman, said that it's remarkable how much you can get done when you don't care who gets the credit. And this is a major point in cooperation. If we care, if we have to have our own stamp on the task at hand and say that I did it, I thought of it, that was my idea, then it makes it very difficult to move together with other people. If you don't care that if you get the credit or not, you just want to make sure it gets done, then the cooperation becomes a lot easier. Melanie?
Prabhuji, I was contemplating on this cooperation because I think every organization, every place, you need cooperation. And the point that you said that if our service is mixed with some modes of nature, then we develop that separatist mentality. And I was thinking about the services and everything, and I could see that when we have this mixed modes, then more of it comes to as an ego. Like, it's not about service anymore. Initially, it may be very subtle that we may not notice, but slowly, as it grows, it becomes like very difficult and different. And I was very interested in this topic when you said cooperation. And the other thing I was thinking was, how do we come to this platform that we want to please Krishna? One thing I was thinking is one should have a very deep desire that no matter how difficult the situations are, that I want to please Krishna. Mm. If we have that desire, then that I felt was the first starting point. Because if you don't have that desire, if at least one person has that desire, then I think things will work out very easily. So I thought that desire is very important.
Thank you. Nice point.
So one point that you said that in Krishna consciousness, like if the goal is Krishna, then it is very easy to cooperate. But in your presentation, can you also talk when
let me change that statement. Easier. Okay, go ahead.
So if there is no common goal that you're not doing service together, but even in those situations, if you have to cooperate, if you can touch on that and how to cooperate.
Even in situations where you don't have a common goal, how do you cooperate?
Like we are, like especially if there's a family situations where you're not in service together, you're not serving Krishna. So in that situation also, how can you cooperate?
Let's refer to Satyadev Prabhu.
Can you be a little more specific? Give me an example.
Give him his own microphone.
Prabhuji, like if you have your family members who may not be Krishna conscious, so there is no common purpose that you're serving, that you're serving Krishna. So in that case, sometimes cooperation may become very difficult because there are differences of opinions in everything, and then the goal may not be the same, and there's so many political things happening. But as a devotee, you still want to cooperate. I know it may be difficult, but so I was wondering how we can do that.
So in a situation where you're with others, maybe family members even, where your ultimate goal is to serve Krishna or please Krishna, that's the purpose of your life, but they don't share that purpose, how can you cooperate with those other people who don't have this ultimate goal, right? Then I think one thing in terms of cooperation between members, even if we have the same goal or supreme goal or other goals, one thing that's always required is clear communication, constant communication, in order to, as devotees, stay fixed on that goal. So I would say, just like for family members or others, then if we can communicate with each other and find out what the other person's needs and concerns are, since we're all different, and then in that communication, we can find out what our common goal is. Just like in a family, maybe the ultimate goal is not to please Krishna, but to live in peace. you know, or to make sure everyone's safe and is able to go to work and go to school. You have to find out from the other person that common goal that you share, and then find out where the areas are that you can agree to work together on, even though you may have a different way you might want to do it, or it may not be the most important thing to you. But it all begins with communication. Without the communication, there's no exchange, and then even if we share the same goals, you know, if we make this vow that, you know, I'm going to follow the four regulated principles and chant 16 rounds and serve the spiritual master and go back to Godhead, if we're not constantly in communication with each other, separation develops, and we begin to kind of live in our own little world. And unless we're communicating and kind of reaffirming our goals, we lose that cooperative spirit, and we start to think that we're, you know, by ourselves doing this. And we mental speculate. It's just natural. And if we're not talking with each other, then we start to imagine what the other person's thinking and how they feel. And as soon as we actually sit down and talk with them, we see how much, you know, we had misunderstood. So I would just say, find a common goal and then communicate.
I really like that. It's a really important point, and it answers Malini's question really well, I think. And it also stands as a principle that works for cooperation in the world or in organizations, is to look for the commonalities. Because the mind tends to look for the differences, or it can, in a certain state of nature, to always find the differences rather than what's common. We were just reading 3 points that Kalakanta Prabhu brought up for... I was reading to Satyadeva on the way down. Kalakanta Prabhu has developed a very successful community of devotees in Gainesville, Florida. And he has students who come from the university there that stay at the Krishna house for months or years, at least 2 years, and get completely trained up in Krishna consciousness. And some of them decide to go back and do their career. Others become full-time devotees and so forth. And in Mayapur, in his excellent Srimad Bhagavatam class, he was divulging these 3 principles that he uses that he lives by, and all the devotees in his community live by, in order to make devotees have cooperation and a harmonious spirit. Should I say what they are?
Yes.
Okay, the first one is Amanina Manadena, and that is, look at others and find out what's superior quality they have that is superior to what you have, and appreciate it. And then he told the story about how Dronacharya had tested both Duryodhan and Yudhishthira to see who was fit to be king. And he asked Duryodhan to go out and find somebody in the kingdom who was better than he was. And he came back, he failed, he couldn't find anybody. And then he asked Yudhishthira to go out and find somebody who was lower than him. And Yudhishthira failed. He couldn't find anybody lower. So he said, Dronacharya said, Yudhishthira is fit to be king. So he said, for a leader, or for a person who's leading, and this can apply to anyone, if you take this mentality, this goes to finding commonalities and also being able to connect with people. Find out what's better in other, what is their best quality, and it's better than yours, and appreciate it. That's number one. The number 2 principle was yena tena prakarena krishnaman pradashayat, niveshayat, excuse me. And that is the admonition by Rupa Goswami that first induce people to think of Krishna, later introduce the rules and regulations. don't force the rules and regulations before thinking of Krishna, because the main rules are always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And all the other rules and regulations are servants of those two principles. And in developing a community, a society, a relationship, preaching to someone, encouraging someone, the first thing is, what's working for them? How can they think of Krishna in the best way, even if they're not following all the rules and regulations? Let those things come later. And the third, do you remember right off the top? Third principle. Yes, is that anandamayobhyasat. And that is that if we feel loved, we feel pleasure. Because everyone wants happiness. That's our nature, anandamayobhyasat. It's the nature of the soul to seek pleasure, ananda. And that ananda comes in love. It's from love. So if people are experiencing love, then they'll be happy. The whole organization runs on love. But then he said, if we give love, we feel even more pleasure. So the idea should be that we should always be giving love. Acharya Chandrapur was telling me about how managers should always be looking to see how people are well-situated. Should be asking them, are you okay? Are you well-situated? And also appreciating them, taking time to appreciate. That's the duty of a manager, to make sure people are, you know, they feel satisfied, they're happy. What can I do to accommodate you? And things like that. And giving love, giving your attention, that's what matters more than anything, ultimately. So those three things. And and this brings out Trishab's point about trust. When there's love and trust, and Prabhupada said that these are the two foundational points of our organization, love and trust, because it's a volunteer organization. At least it should be. And if those elements are there, love and trust, then it's easy to cooperate. Partly we cooperate because we want to. You don't have to, if you don't, I mean, there's such thing, people have these things at work sometimes called slowdowns. You ever hear of that? We'll have a work slowdown. All the employees come to work, but because they don't like the boss anymore, they do their work, what they're supposed to do, but they go really slow. And you can't fault him. You can't say, you know, you're not doing your work. You didn't come in. You're fired. Because he's there. But he just doesn't care. Or he actually doesn't, you know, is purposely going a little bit slower than he, and all of them do it at the same time, sort of as a non-cooperation. On the other hand, when there's love, when people are doing things because they love the people they're working for and they want to please them, then they do more than they have to. It engenders that. Who was next? You were. Okay. Microphone to them. To her, she was next, in the back. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
You were actually mentioning a while ago that many times we want the stamp on a particular task, so I want to take the credit. I mean, that's the kind of mentality we have when we are like working along with devotees most of the times. I mean, I'm talking about myself. So recently we had this kind of an experience where maybe you don't get the credit, nobody's appreciating you, and then you don't want to cooperate. So during
that
the course
hurts.
Of... Yeah, that...
It's painful, right?
Yeah. So the course of time, I and my husband were just discussing about this, and what my husband made a point was that we have to remember that we have to act as a servant of servants. So when you develop that mentality, it really eases things off. You really don't look for the credit. You don't want to be the, you know, you don't want to have the stamp.
Yeah.
So
it's a good point. Yeah.
That kind of really settled things for me when he told, you know, that you have to remember you're the servant of servant.
Servant. Just from personal realization, I would add to that if we're aware of the fact that Krishna is the witness of everything, that who cares if other people notice? I've had this experience before where there was, you know, did something and I'm wondering, you know, is such and such going to notice? And then I consciously renounced it. I consciously said, I'm going to give that desire up for that person to notice that I did something for them. And then it comes out in a miraculous way. Actually, in this particular instance I'm thinking of, they did notice. And if I had actually said something and say, hey, didn't you notice? It would have been actually grotesque or, you know, really, really profane the whole relationship. You know, it's like, why didn't you notice? But because I renounced that anarta and I gave it up and I just said, Krishna notices and I'm an independent entity. I don't have to have somebody notice. Then I felt relief, and also Krishna made it come out in a much bigger way, and there's it's a kind of a practice to renounce the fruit of one's work or the credit that goes with it, and being the servant of the servant, and also knowing that Krishna is the witness. It's very important. Shraddha.
I was going to make one observation, and I have a question. The observation was where you were saying that things get done very smoothly as long as people don't want to take the credit. And in contrast to that, I'm actually taught at work on how to take credit. I mean, there are formal courses where, you know, they give, especially for women who are leaders. Like if you're in a meeting and you're talking and you're giving across your points, and then you have that male person over there who tries to take over the meeting and cuts in your conversation and tries to, you know, say what you were going to say. And then they teach us techniques on, you know, how to grab back that that credit and bring it back to your name. So I was thinking, like, as long as we are in this world, we'll keep on facing these, you know, diverse things. I mean, I always have to come back and unwind myself after learning all those things at work.
Well, so let's look at it from the other angle. There may be a way in which you have to take the credit for service. I mean, Prabhupada insisted that his name, Founder Acharya of ISKCON, was on everything. And when it wasn't, he took umbrage because, why? Because he needed the credit? I mean, obviously, he was taking credit, it's his society, right? So is that transcendental or is that something else? What do you think? He's passing the credit back to his acharyas, but why doesn't he just put somebody else's name on it then? Why is it sometimes you might have to put your name on something?
We also notice in all the songs, Vaishnava songs, that at the last line, generally the writer says that, you know, I've written, it's my name, so. Because there's this personal.
Okay, well, that's something to inspire others, but there's a way in which. It's a service. If there's service, like Narendra Prabhu was making this point at the beginning that I don't care about, you know, anything but cooperating with Krishna. Okay, that's a transcendental kind of viewpoint that whether we take credit or we don't take credit, it depends on whether it's service or not. If someone has to be the leader and they have to take credit for the sake of being the leader of the organization and that there's a head of the organization, then it holds together under one banner, and that's a service, and then you have to take credit for it, that's not materially tinged. In other words, everything can be used, whether it's materially auspicious or inauspicious, if it's actually the motive is for serving Krishna, then that's transcendental. Yeah, also the responsibility goes with you also. It means it's your organization. What's wrong with these guys? We're part of it. Yeah, it's a good point. So we have to judge by whether it's meant to please Krishna. So, and you had a question.
Yeah, I had a question. Can you distinguish between cooperation and surrender? To me, sometimes cooperation, you know...
Can we distinguish between cooperation and surrender? Well, let me read you some of these quotations and maybe it'll answer the question. Because I have a variety of citations here from Prabhupada's books and from Shastra about cooperation from different angles of vision, and I think it might be answered, okay? Here's one from the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada writes, similarly, the Supreme Lord is the enjoyer and the creator, and we as subordinate living beings are meant to cooperate to satisfy him. This cooperation will actually help us, just as food taken by the stomach will help all other parts of the body. If the fingers of the hand think that they should take the food themselves instead of giving it to the stomach, then they will be frustrated. The central figure of creation and of enjoyment is the Supreme Lord, and the living entities are cooperators. By cooperation, they enjoy. That's a great revelation. The cause of my material existence is a spirit of non-cooperation. It's possible to develop an independent spirit because we're individuals. And Prabhupada brought this out in a letter he wrote to Atreya Rishi, who was disturbed by the fact that among some of the leaders there was some rancor and argument going on. And they were managing a spiritual society. Meanwhile, they were, you know, vehemently arguing with each other. And so he wrote a letter to Prabhupada saying, you know, how can this be spiritual? And Prabhupada wrote back and saying, because we're personalists. And individuals have their own opinions and ideas and ways of doing things. And therefore, he said, don't expect utopia. Or don't look for utopia. This is an impersonal idea that we all merge into one and there's just nothing. In fact, that's what makes life interesting and tasty is variety. Vishesha means the distinction between one living in an entity and another. And in fact, there is no one living entity that's the same as another anywhere. They're all individual and distinct. It's part of the wonderment of Krishna's creation is that everything is individual. And also there's Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers says to Lord Nrsingadev that I've realized that whenever I do service to satisfy you, actually it's in my own interests. You're self-satisfied, you don't need my service, but I need to serve you. I'm your part and parcel. And Prabhupada tells the story about how all the senses got together and they had a meeting and decided to stage a protest against the stomach because they're all working hard and the stomach is enjoying and everyone else is simply feeding the stomach. So they said, okay, we quit. We're not going to work anymore because you're enjoying, we work hard, what do we get out of this? So they stopped. And they stopped feeding the stomach. And after a few days, they felt weak. And they came back together and said, okay, we'll go back to work again. And immediately they felt satisfied. So in this quotation in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's talking about how we actually, our designation is cooperators. We, by cooperating with the Supreme Lord, finding out what he wants and fulfilling his desire, we enjoy. That's a powerful revelation because then we know our real self-interest in serving Krishna's self-interest. A couple more quotes. The demigods being pleased by sacrifices will also please you, and thus by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. I mean, not many people in America think about demigods, but nowadays people are thinking about nature a little bit more. When they think, well, how are we going to enjoy if we just wreck everything? If we poison all the streams and ruin the ozone layer and there's global warming, how are we going to enjoy? And so a lot of people nowadays are thinking about being cooperative with nature, which is similar to understanding the principle of demigods. There's a higher force. They're devas that are controlling everything. We realize that I can't just throw everything out and do whatever I want and live a happy life because it'll come back to me. As the bumper sticker says, we all live downstream. It all comes back to you. I'll read one more and then we'll take more discussion and comments. Here's one from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.11. Can you grab me that book, 1.5.11? As I can't see the last line here because my printer is not working well. When there is a fire in a house, the inmates of the house go out to get help from the neighbors who may be foreigners. And yet without knowing the language, the victims of the fire express themselves and the neighbors understand the need, even though not expressed in the same language. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message of the Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the polluted atmosphere of the world. After all, it is a technical science of spiritual values, and thus we are concerned with the techniques and not with the language. What's the last line? Anyway, there's only one more line. So those are a few more concepts about cooperation, more discussion and or questions. And if you're watching from another place and you'd like to make a point or ask a question, you can text in at 650-245-7018. That's 650-245-7018. Operators are standing by to take your calls. Yes.
So, Prabhuji, if a person does voice a difference of opinion, so what should be my attitude towards it? Should I evaluate it, saying, okay, how should I take it? Or rather, if I, other way of asking is, if I, based on whatever limited understanding I have, I feel things are not as per what the Prabhupada said or as per what his books are stating, should I even care to voice it, or should I rather take the safe route, feeling that maybe it is Vaishnava Prat, so why bother? So what should be my attitude, either when I'm hearing a difference of opinion or when I actually feel that I should be raising a different point?
It depends on your relationship with the person making the point. And if the person is your spiritual master, then first of all, you should, before you accept a spiritual master in such a relationship, you should be ready to accept the points as they're given to you. How it doesn't mean that you can't question. To clarify, Arjuna asked questions of Krishna even after he accepted him as a spiritual master. He said, wait a minute, you just said this, but then you said that. It sounds equivocal. Please explain it a little bit more. But absurd inquiries are not allowed. And also the challenging spirit, just for the sake of challenging. It should be inquiry for the sake of understanding Siddhanta. Siddhanta bolya chitana kara alash, iha hoite Krishna lage sudrid manash. Kaviraj Goswami says, the kind of discussion that goes on in order to come to the Siddhanta, to get a clear understanding of what does the scripture say, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, what is that point, that we should inquire about it in order to come to that point. If, however, somebody has taken a fanatical stand on something and is presenting in a way simply to present their own way of thinking, and they're not open for discussion, then it may not be fruitful. But it depends on your relationship also. For instance, if you're the leader of a family or an organization or a group, and you have to clarify things, then you may have to take a stand, and you know, to point it out. Maybe your duty to do that. And also, just in ordinary course of dealings, I think taking Satyadev Prabhu's advice is always helpful to clarify through communication. What do you actually mean by that? Because oftentimes there's a way in which somebody might take a stand on something and make a point, and I'll assume I know what that point is because it represents something I've heard before. However, if I ask questions to clarify it, what is your actual position, I might find out that there's more commonality than I thought.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a thin line of difference between fanaticism and sincerity, right? The person whom the others perceive as fanatic, that person for himself, he might be thinking he is very sincere, right? So is there some quick way to actually distinguish that this person is sincere, this person is fanatic?
Or it could, well, how quick do you need it? Because, I mean, if we're too quick to judge people, then it might be to our detriment. But, you know, when we're in a society of people, I've noticed that if we take time to get to know people and to find more about what their actual position is, then sometimes, or if we get to know them and how they're presenting things, I mean, we might even see their point of view to some degree if we take that time. And in nature, things that are flexible tend to be stronger than things that are not. And when we take a more flexible point of view, not that we abandon Siddhanta, but if we're able to accommodate opposing opinions and at the same time go on with our duty and keep our own values, this is the signature, actually, of a Madhyama Adhikari. As mentioned in the Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a Madhyama Adhikari is not expert, completely expert. He has some expertise, but not expert like the Uttama Adhikari in Shastra and logic and argument. And therefore, he may be defeated in an argument. But he doesn't give up his faith. It doesn't disturb him. It doesn't stop his service. He goes on with his own service because he has this very strong abiding faith. And however, a Kanishta Adhikari can be disturbed there temporarily, Rupa Goswami says. He has some faith, but it's komal shraddha, it's very tender. So if he hears opposing arguments, different ideas and things like that, for some time his service may be disturbed, interrupted, and then he comes back to it later. But Madhyama Adhikari has a strong faith and doesn't become disturbed. And so I'm saying a Madhyama Adhikari partly is going out in the world and encountering many different kinds of people. And in the course of presenting his or her point of view, he's going to get all kinds of opposing point of views. Isn't it true? We go to Santa Cruz for a weekend and stand on the street corner and just present Krishna consciousness as it is, as you know it, and see if everyone agrees with you or not. No, they won't agree with you. They'll say, yeah, but what about this? But God's, you know, God's everything. And you know, your opinion is as good as mine. That's your truth. Here's my truth. I pray to the universe. You pray to God. You pray. That's beautiful. Krishna's nice, but you know, I mean, and maybe even stronger arguments. And can you accommodate that? And does it make you stronger or weaker? In fact, in study of botany, I read recently about how when the same species of plants are grown together, they're rather docile. But when you put two species together, then they grow faster and stronger because they sense that there is another species there. So there may be some kind of competition. So there's a way in which when you become practiced in entertaining other people's opinions and points of view and at the same time maintaining your own, even if you're not able to fully convince them, that you become stronger in your own position. My own experience is that in encountering people who don't agree, whether it's in ISKCON or outside of ISKCON anywhere else, and walking away from that experience, not having been able to come to a complete conclusion or convince them, or maybe I have more questions than I did before, it puts me in a ready state to hear and chant more, because now I'm looking, there are more gaps to fill in. And that's what makes you strong, is that encounter where you're testing your ability to present logic and argument and also your faith. And can you accommodate opposing kinds of views and bring it under a bigger umbrella? Can you expand it and appreciate the fact that some people have a different kind of way of serving God or Krishna that may not be exactly like yours? I mean, that's going to help in cooperation, especially in an organization where people are oftentimes trying to define things in a certain way on an issue. Say, it's got to be like this, otherwise forget it. That's dangerous for cooperation when you say, if it's not like this, then I'm walking away. Because once you say that, you make an ultimatum, and I say I'm going to walk away from the whole thing, then you have to walk away. How are you going to work together anymore? How are you going to stay in there? Better to try to find, okay, well, there's some commonality here. What are the common points? Okay, Gandharvika, and then we have three texts that have just rolled in, and we'll get to you in just a minute.
So, Prabhuji, my question is, up to what point do we decide, like, what is cooperation means externally? Like, Vibhishan, he left, and then he joined Ram. But Bhishma, he tried to stay with the people who were against devotees. So, from the practical point of view, even when we see Prabhupada, how he started ISKCON, like he carried on the mission, but others may say that he didn't cooperate. But so what is the main thing that determines that we are cooperating? Because the world may not see or may not understand immediately.
Well, let me just dispel the idea that Prabhupada didn't try to cooperate, because I have a letter here. Written by Prabhupada in 1965, November, after he had arrived in America and he'd been here for a little while. And this is to one of his godbrothers. He says, "Kindly accept respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. Since I have come to the United States of America, I had several correspondence with Sripad Govinda Maharaj. While I was in Calcutta at that time, as well as in our different exchange of letters, there was some hint from Sripad Govinda Maharaj, I should work in cooperation with Your Holiness, and in my last letter, I have already expressed my readiness to cooperate with Your Holiness. And I had to ask from Govinda Maharaj as to the basic principle of that cooperation. Before I took sannyas, perhaps you will remember it, that I proposed to join you if my publications were taken up. But somehow or other, it was not possible, and we missed the chance. Now here is a second chance, and without undergoing a long series of correspondence with Govinda Maharaj, I am directly writing you about my intention. Srila Prabhupada had a strong desire, that's Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, had a strong desire to open our preaching centers in Western countries, and both Ban Maharaj and Govinda Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj, rather, were deputed for this purpose without any tangible result. I have come to this country with the same purpose in view as far as I see it. Here in America, there is a very good scope for preaching the cult of Lord Chaitanya. Here, the Ramakrishna Mission is there for the last 40 years, and I attended their two centers here, and I found there is no appreciable gatherings. Vivekananda preached for Jaridra Narayan Seva, and the practical Americans questioned the Swamis of Ramakrishna Mission why there are still so many Jaridra Narayans lying on the streets and footpaths in India. In America, there are no such scenes of Jaridra Narayans living on the footpath, or in other words, there is no question of Jaridra Narayan here, because everyone has ample to eat in their immense vacant places for their homes." I think the number of homeless people has increased since then. But it's for different reasons. The mental institutions were cleared out under Ronald Reagan, and they just cut all the funding for a lot of these organizations, and therefore people ended up helpless on the street. "I have not seen a single spot which is not nicely decorated with good houses and nice roads. Actually, they have built a prosperous country in this part of the world, and so material prosperity concerned, they are happy in every respect. So naturally, there is spiritual hankerings, and because India is well known for her spiritual assets, they are more inclined to take something spiritual from the East. But unfortunately, neither the Ramakrishna Mission or the yogis have been able to deliver the goods they want. I had a talk the other day with Swami Nikhilanand of the Ramakrishna Mission, and he also opined that the Americans are just suitable for the bhakti yoga cult, and that is also my opinion. I am here and I see here a good field for work, but I am alone without men and money. To start a center here, we must have our own buildings. The Ramakrishna Mission or any other mission which are working here all have their own buildings. So if you want to start a center here, we must also have our own building. To have our own building means to pay at least 5 lakhs of rupees or $100,000. And to furnish the house, with up-to-date paraphernalia means another 2 lakhs. If attempt is made, this money can be had also. But I think for establishing mutt and temples, here you may take the charge, and I shall be able to make them self-independent. In other words, he's saying, you take charge of it. Prabhupada wasn't demanding that he be in charge of it. He just said, let's just work together. Let's cooperate. You come over, or you give the money, and you can put your, you know, be the head of the organization, and I'll go out and make sure that it works. There is difficulty of exchange, and I think unless you have some special arrangement for starting a branch of Chaitanya Mutt, transfer of money will be difficult. Anyway, there's a lot more details, but he goes on and, you know, is making a plea to his godbrother, and there are many such letters saying, if you can cooperate, then, you know, I'll just help and make sure that it goes. So there's a way in which, anyway, that didn't answer all your questions, but that was one point that Prabhupada expressed the spirit of cooperation even when he came to America. He had no intention that, you know, he wanted to be the head of an organization. And that was one of the reasons that he was so successful. He just wanted to see it succeed in whatever way he could. But what was your other question? It's answered. The principle is answered. Okay. We have 3 texts that just came in. So let's hear. And if you're out watching and you want to text in, the number is 650-245-7018. That's 650-245-7018. Okay.
So Maharaj, we have the first request from Swati Mataji, and she's wondering if you can again explain why Prabhupada would want to take the credit and be the founder acharya for ISKCON, and how it was transcendental. That part is not clear.
Because every organization needs a leader. And how does a Vaishnav take leadership, and why? Because a Vaishnav would rather sit on the floor and worship somebody else. But when there's a need for somebody to take a leadership role, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out in one of his lectures that he gave during a Vyasa Puja, and he sat up on a seat and people were putting garlands on him and he was accepting all kinds of praise. And so he said, so people might be thinking, who is this beast sitting up on this big seat accepting all this praise? But his point was that it is on behalf of his spiritual master, and on behalf of Krishna, that he's accepting it, and it's for the sake of accepting that a person does that service, which may be is extremely difficult. It's one of the most difficult types of service to accept. Praise for a Vaishnava doesn't want to be praised. It's like poison. It spoils one's consciousness and bhajan. Therefore, it must be completely transcendental. It must be for the sake of accepting it on behalf. Just like Prabhupada said, a spiritual master is like the viceroy. The viceroy would come to a certain part of the country on behalf of the king, and everyone would treat him just like the king. But everything he got, whatever letter he received, whatever donations he got, it would just go right back to the king. He didn't touch any of it. He was just the representative, but he was honored just like that. And so if you have to take the lead role in order to fulfill the mission of the Lord, this is a kind of an austerity. And it's transcendental because it's for the service of the Lord. Another one?
Thank you, Maharaj. And this one is the unity in diversity idea. This is Bhaktin Kara. And she says that, I have noticed that some devotees don't appreciate diversity within the society of devotees. That hampers cooperation. How should we interact with such people?
Hare Krishna, Kara. Well, that's much of the topic. How do we deal with it? Again, I think some of the points we've come up with was try to find the commonalities. If somebody doesn't harmonize with you on a certain level, try to find a level that they do that you can cooperate with them. And also, it may not be necessary that you see eye to eye with everybody in an organization. Do you have to? Can you? Is it even possible? You may, there's a term, agreeing to disagree, which works quite often, because you may come to a point where you say, all right, let's agree to disagree and go on with our common mission and do what we have to do. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that one must find like-minded devotees and associate with them intimately. As he said, ideally they should be more advanced than yourself and they should be like-minded. It means you have similar interests and you have a similar temperament. Otherwise, how are you going to intimately associate with such people? I mean, there may be people in our society that you don't care to be around. That that's altogether possible. In fact, I know it's a reality. However, there's a way that we respect them. In fact, we should respect every living entity, understanding the Supreme Personality of God is there within their heart and that they're part and parcel of Krishna. But we may not associate with them. And that is better for us and may probably be better for them. Find your own niche. The world will go on. You don't have to, you have to pick your battles to find out who you work well with and just work. And work together with those that you can cooperate with. There's always a place for you. Always. Hope that's okay, Kara, because you can't give a follow-up question unless you text back in. Okay, another one.
Okay, thank you, Prabhuji. This one is from our Vajendra Kumar Prabhu.
From our own Vajendra Kumar. Haribo.
Haribo. Is cooperation to be done for mutual benefit only? What about selfless cooperation? What does the Shastra recommend for the two?
For that, we're going to turn to our expert, Satyadev Prabhu.
Can you read those points again?
Is cooperation to be done for mutual benefit only?
Okay.
What about selfless cooperation?
Let's start with that. One more time.
Is cooperation to be done for mutual benefit only?
You scratch my back. Yeah. That's one level, you know. And like we were saying before, we may be with others who don't share our ultimate, you know, goals in life, but we still want to find common ground. And in order to do that, I just wanted to add in a little bit to what Vaisheshika Prabhu was saying, and that is that when we take the time to try and understand the other person, not so much worried about agreeing or disagreeing with them, but if we're just simply trying to understand what they really want, what do they really feel, and we're not trying to oppose them, and we show them that we just want and we don't want, it's not so much that we want to agree with them or disagree, we just want to understand. This is what I think, this is how I feel, this is what I want. In that kind of atmosphere, sometimes there's an opening. Instead of two parties trying to get from each other or trying to defend their position or to force their way, and that's a game, you know, it's kind of a dance that we tend to do. If somebody is resisting, we tend to resist back, right? So if that's going on, there probably won't be any cooperation. So the first, if we're just trying to understand the other person and they understand that we understand, somehow we show that to them, then they'll be more likely to listen and not feel like they have to defend their position, and they'll be more likely to understand us. And within that, we can find some cooperation. So that, I would say, for the first question, yeah, that's valid. Yeah, even if it's I scratch, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. If it's for the higher good, you know, or even for each other's good, then That's okay. And what's the next one?
What about selfless cooperation?
So selfless cooperation. We have to be careful there because we are a self. I think it, I can relate to something similar to what Vaisheshika Prabhu said, that he noticed that sometimes when he's doing something for somebody else or cooperating with them, he might notice the desire comes up that I hope they recognize it. I hope they've noticed, you know, what I've done for them. And so that, you could say in that sense, that's not selfless, right? But if you recognize that kind of selfish desire for wanting to be recognized, and then you consciously renounce that or let that go, then what happens is a sense of freedom arises, and even an opening in the heart that I was hoping for this person's love, basically. I wanted their respect. I wanted their acknowledgement. And then when you recognize that within yourself and you consciously let that go, then there's a sense of freedom from that. And in my experience, what happens then is that I'm actually not so concerned about getting the other person's recognition or love. I just find naturally I'm loving them, and I'm free. And the love that I wasn't feeling for them because I was concerned about getting love for myself, I wasn't able to experience that. But if I consciously let that go, then naturally the love for that other person begins to flow towards them. Even when I thought maybe I didn't even have any love for that person. I don't know if I'm expressing that very clearly, but there are some relationships sometimes we're very concerned about getting the other person's acknowledgement, but at the same time, most of our feelings towards them may not be very positive. And maybe we're fault-finding about them all the time or something. And I've experienced that within myself, that if I let go of the desire for recognition for that person, suddenly I'm not seeing their faults anymore and I'm feeling love for them. It's the opposite happens. So I would say that is selfless cooperation, and it's not based on neglecting yourself and what your needs are, but it's just seeing the false ego or that part of you that's not really real and then letting that go. It's not like losing your... It's not like we're losing ourselves, but we're making a conscious choice. That's it. We're making a conscious choice to cooperate. So that's a higher level of maturity. As we were saying, that dependence is the lowest level. Becoming independent and voluntarily choosing is a higher level of maturity. But then to let that go, and just for the sense of cooperation or being interdependent, that's even a higher level of maturity, and it's not selfless, it's a conscious choice. So that's how I define it, is that's the key point, is making a conscious choice. And what was the last point?
It was kind of related to the two. It says that what does the Shastra recommend for?
Huh?
What does the Shastra recommend between the two? What should we be doing?
What does the Shastra recommend as far as cooperation goes?
Yeah, like cooperation for mutual benefit only, or selfless cooperation.
I'm not sure what the Shastra says. Can you think of any Shastra?
Well, when Dhruva Maharaj went away from home, Narada Muni gave him some advice that you should cooperate with people at various levels, and this will be in the mode of goodness. And he said, when you meet superiors, you should learn from them. When you meet equals, you should make friends with them. When you meet people that are lower, less qualified than you, then you should give them mercy. And in this way, he said, you know, through this kind of cooperation, then you won't have any disturbance in your life. Just go home. You'll be okay. Dhruva Maharaj said, sorry. Can't cooperate. can't live with that. I'm a Kshatriya. I have hot blood. I'm going for something else. I got a different idea here. But that's, you know, the Dharma Shastra, this idea of cooperation in the mode of goodness. And then there's the highest level of cooperation, Sarva Dharman Buritya Ja Mame Kam Sharanam Braja Aham Tam Sarva Papi Bhyo Muksha Ishami Masucha, that Narendra Prabhu started us off with. We were shot from a cannon tonight because Narendra Prabhu was here. And he said, you know, to hell with cooperation, you know, I'm going to surrender to Krishna. Now that's real cooperation, because then you just like, well, whatever, you know, this is what Krishna says, this is the Shastra. It's surrender to me, that's cooperation. And if it doesn't work out with all the other obligations you have, too bad.
That's, well, and also you also quoted Lord Vishnu being pleased with the Prachetas because of their spirit of cooperation with each other. So that's part of pleasing the Lord, is when we can cooperate.
Yeah, and that's an interesting conundrum, because then someone might say, you know, I'm surrendering in my own way, and so forth. As you can see, it takes finesse. It maturity is not something that is simple. Fanaticism is simple. It's this way, and it's no other way. That's simple. It's also simple-minded to be a fanatic. But to have nuance and to be able to appreciate everybody, that's Mahatma. That means a great soul. It means that you're able to see the commonality of all living entities, even if you hate them externally. I mean, there may be a way there's certain kinds of people that you're not able to accommodate their particular mentality, but there's a kind of abiding appreciation that you have for them on a spiritual level. And as you cultivate that, and it's not in an artificial way either, because, you know, even great sages and advanced devotees, they have their likes and dislikes. It's not all just an amorphous one. There are actual particular, you know, sensitive points for certain kinds of pure devotees and the kinds of people that they will work with and cooperate. So it's a big creation. The Lord's universe and his overall creation is unlimited. You can go wherever you like. If you don't like this planet, you can go to hell, you know. If you'd rather live there with people with hellish mentality, go ahead. And that's one of the points I love that Hari Dayananda Maharaj brings out, is Krishna is not a religious fanatic. The Bhagavad Gita is not religious fanaticism. He's not saying, you know, surrender to me or go to hell. He's just saying, here are your options. If you surrender unto me, I'll deliver you from all sinful reaction. And if you don't, then here's what's involved. You know, make your own choice. He says to Arjuna, he says, make your own choice. It's a free world. You're a free soul. Do what you like. And in that kind of atmosphere, then you have to be intelligent and understand there may be mutual cooperation for the sake of, you know, not crashing the car or something like that, because you're with a crazy person, and there may be a deeper kind of cooperation out of love, because you have the same goal, and I feel this kind of love around my God brothers and people that I've been with for 40 years and doing service, and when I see them and they see me, there's love. I was just in Mayapur with so many God brothers, spending a lot of time discussing philosophy or just sitting together having prasadam, and there's this intense love, I can say that, between God brothers, God sisters who've, you know, we've been around, we're there at times, we've been through a lot of different things together, and stuck together, and you just look at somebody else and go, you're still here, all right, give me a hug, you know. I love you too. And you know, and you may not want to go live with that person, but you love them. So, you know, these things take maturity, and maturity takes time, and it means that you have to develop trust and love. And when you have that, it's the most valuable thing. And that's why, you know, organizations that are volunteer organizations that can actually work together are highly acclaimed. It's like, how do you do that? How does Kalakanta get everyone to, you know, to jump high in kirtan and want to be a part of his program? He doesn't pay them. And Prabhupada used to point this out too. I'm not paying these people. I mean, it drove parents nuts because, you know, there were people like Giri Raj Maharaj who came from, you know, from big wealth, big wealthy family. And they came and said, you know, could we make it an arrangement, you know, a trust fund or something like that? And Giri Raj Maharaj was living in mosquito infested Bombay before the temple was built, unlimited problems he had to deal with as the manager there. And he was given, you know, wonderful offers, and he's like, no, thank you. I'm happy here. And like, what are you talking about? How can you be happy here? But that's what it means to actually have devotion and love and appreciation. That's where you want to be. So we're going to stop there because we got a few minutes to get ready for the Artik, which starts exactly at 8 o'clock. So let's put all the Shastra deities back as quickly and efficiently as possible, which will require cooperation. And then we'll stand up and we'll have a kirtan, which is also a cooperative effort to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So everyone out there watching, y'all cooperate now. And all of us in here are going to cooperate. And as Rodney King said so many years ago, can't we all just get along? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
That's why I'm here. Do we chant the Artik song? Or you're not doing that? Yeah, I'll chant it. But I gotta see the words. Can we put up the evening Artik words? Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paschacadesha Tarine. Shiva Jaya Om Jaya Gora Chande Haroti Kesoba Jaya Om Jaya Gora Chande Haroti Kesoba Janave Tatavane Jagamana Loba Janave Tatavane Jagamana Loba Dakshine Nitai Chan Pame Gharara Nikate Adoita Shini Vasachatra Dara Vosi Achen Gora Chan Ratna Sima Sane Ati Korna Bhama Arideva Gane Nara Ari Ari Kare Chamula Dulaya Jaya Makunda Vasu Gosari Gaya Shankha Bhaje Gandha Bhaje Bhajikara Kala Madhura Midanga Bhaji Paramarasala Shankha Bhaji Ganta Bhaji Madhur 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 Bhaji Shankha Bhaji Ganta Bhaji Madhur 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 Bhaji Shankha Bhaji Ganta Bhaji Madhur 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 Bhaji
Madho, 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 Bhaje. Madho, 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 Bhaje. Haribol, 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 Nithai Go, Haribol. Nithai Go, Haribol, 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 Haribol. Bahu Koti Chandra Gini Badana Ujvala. Kala Jese Vana Mala Kori Jala Mala Shiva Sukana Lada Heme Gada Gada Bhakati Vinoda Dekhe Korala Sampara Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Adoita Garara Shivasani Gorbata Venda Let's follow that. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adoita Gadadhara Shivasani Gaurabhakta Vrinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adoita Gadadhara Shivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gauranga, 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 Nitai Gauranga. Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Jai Sachinandana, Gaura Hari, Jai Sachinandana, Gaura Hari. Jai Sachinandana Gaurare, 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 Gaura 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 Hare. Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hare. Jai Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madana Mohan Radha Madana Mohan Radhe. Jaya Radha Madana Mohan Radha Madana Mohan Radhe. Jaya Radha Madana Mohan Radha Madana Mohan Radhe. Nitai go Hari Bo Hari Bo Hari Bo Hari Bo. Nitai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajika Charja Stotarashita Shishimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Ananta Kulti Vaishnavindi Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Premsa Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivindi Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gokopi Nasham Kund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mayapur Navadip Dham Ki Shri Jagannath Puri Ki, Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki, Jamuna Devi Ganga Devi Ki, Samba Beta Bhakta Vrinda Ki, All Glorious Assembled Devotees, All Glorious Assembled Devotees, All Glorious Assembled Devotees, Go Premanande Haribo.
Namaste Narasimhaya. Namaste Narasimhaya. Namaste Narasimhaya. Narasimhaya. Namaste Narasimhaya. Prahlada Radha Daine. Lada Dai. Prahlada Radha Daine. Lada Dai. Hiranya Kasipu Vakshaga. Hiranya Kasipu Vakshaga. Kasipu Vakshaga. Shilatan Kana Kana Ye. Kana Kana Ye. Oh, Shila Tankana Kana Ye. Tankana Kana Ye. Tonri Simho, Para Tonri Simho. He Tonri Simho, Para Tonri Simho. Yato yato yamita to nisimha. Yato yato yamita to nisimha. Bahe nisimha, hridaye nisimha. Bahir Nrisimha, Hridaye Nrisimha. Narasimha Madim Saranam Prapade. Narasimha Madim Saranam Prapade. Oh, Talakara Kamala Vadena Kam Adhuta Singam Dalita Hiranyakasipur Tanubringam Kesavadita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadisa Hare. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Talakara Kamala Varena Kam Adbhuta Singam Dalita Hiranyakasipu Tanu Bingam Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Jai Nrisimhadev. Jai Nrisimhadev. Nrisimhadev. Jai Nrisimhadev. Nrisimhadev. Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Prabhupad. Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Om Shri Bhagavan Rishimadeva ki jai. Shri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Gaura Premanande Haribo.
Hare Krishna. Welcome home to Malini Shivas Pandit Gita Priya. Who just looking quite sadhu-esque. And we welcome all the new guests who are here for the first time. Who is here for the first time? Anyone? Yes, welcome. Would you introduce yourself?
Hare Krishna. My name is Yadiraj Krishna Das. Actually, I'm from Malaysia.
Aba khabar?
Khabar bhai. I'm here 2 days for some conference, you know, on behalf of my company.
2 days?
Two days, so I'll be leaving tomorrow.
Two days of Brahma.
So I was here yesterday. So Prabhu told me there's a class today. So that's why somehow by the mercy of all the
thank you very much for coming over, and please give our best to everybody back in Malaysia.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. It's very, very nice to be here.
Hare Krishna.
It was very wonderful.
Yadiraj Krishna, coming from Malaysia. Beautiful. Anybody else here for the first time? And who are our... Who? our cooks? Who are their cooks for tonight? Opa Mataji cooked tonight. And Dipesh's wife cooked? And Nitya Navina and Yashoda Kumar. Let's give them all a big hand. There are 4 rent signs on the outside in case anybody wants to rent any of these buildings. I know I don't. we're leaving here. Okay, fine. I don't know. Maybe we'll make it somewhere else. As it once we start moving, then it starts feeling less and less appealing, doesn't it? Yeah. It's like when you're leaving your body or something. There's progress. Progress is a funny thing. We don't always see what it is at first because. For instance, you invent a cell phone and then you realize it drives you crazy. No, there's progress. Sometimes we don't see in our lives that the reversals as progress. I may have a set idea of what progress is and what it isn't. But for those who are cultivating love for God, Krishna consciousness, and faithfully following in the authoritative line, submissive hearing from the disciplic succession, progress is always there. No matter whether we experience loss or gain, victory or defeat, the progress is assured. And if you look at the life of great acharyas or even ordinary devotees who are faithful, you'll find that their lives are full of twists and turns, and it's often hard to define success. Sometimes there is a definition of success that everyone looks up to and says this is what it is, maybe monetary, or you have to reach a certain level of education or something like that. But we have a different definition, and that is those activities that allow us to have unmotivated, uninterrupted service to Krishna, and the endeavor to reach that platform, whatever it is, whatever position I'm starting from, if I have a sincere desire to do that, even if I'm not on that platform, that is success. Because that progress is never lost, whereas everything else in this world is. So we're progressively moving forward with our mission here at ISV. We'll be moving over to our new location at 1965 Latham Street. As soon as all the permits are done and the floors are dried and everything else, and as anybody who's done construction or any moving knows, that that goes at its own pace. So it's a minute-by-minute calculation. But we're out of here, that's for sure. Right, Ramananda Saka?
Yes.
Yes.
So is that where you just came from? Were you at 1965 Latham Street today or just yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. He's making sure that we have the latest technology in the building, that the place is wired in every which way that it can be with the best kinds of wires so that we need to upgrade because we are interested in using everything in Krishna service. I'd like to welcome Satyadev Prabhu, who came all the way to... Some may not know this, but he comes a long distance just to come to Burlingame. Then from Burlingame, he has to tolerate me all the way down here and back, which is not easy. And then he has to drive all the way back. So when I leave here late, which I often do, and Satyadev Prabhu suffers more than anybody because he gets home, 30 minutes after we stop in Burlingame. And I'd like to thank Acharya Chandra for his deity worship tonight, and Aruni for staying and playing beautiful harmonium. Hare Krishna. Everyone else who came out here tonight for the Wednesday night program, good to see you, Dipesh. Hare Krishna. He's the staunch devotee of Radha and Krishna. And the knower of many, many, many shlokas. I think he grew up with the Bhagavad Gita and many other stotrams, which he feelingly offers to the Lord. Yes, Usha. You would like to answer a tile? Well, he has his bell ready. Wow. That was spontaneous. Hare Krishna. That's beautiful. Of that, there's a wall going up over at our new temple. It's a $1 million wall, and on it there are these tiles that are custom made, and each one of them costs $2,000. And then you can put a message on the tile, and the wall will be going up soon. Hare Krishna. So yes. Why don't you use the microphone to... There.
So one of the tile was sponsored by Nikhil Agarwal Prabhu.
Haribo Nikhil! From Roanoke, Virginia. Roanoke, North Carolina, excuse me. Roanoke, North Carolina.
And... one more was there. I'm just looking into the name. Yeah. Another one was sponsored by Anand Jagannath Prabhu.
Jai Anand Jagannath Prabhu!
So why it's important is, we practically knew these devotees and somehow they came to know about we moving to our new site and this $1 million wall. And they approached us and got a tile. So we already got the payment. So, Krishna is sending one after the other, inspiring devotees. And they are helping in this big center, Vedic center, which we are aspiring to have and moving soon. So in case you can spread the word about the new temple, spread the word about $1 million wall, spread the word about getting donation. We need a lot of money to set up better facilities, lot of infrastructure to be purchased so that we can more serve the devotees and the residents of Bay Area and around everybody around the planet. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. And we're counting down the days until Gaur Purnima. That festival is on March 27th, which is a 26th, which is a Tuesday. Tuesday, March 26th. What? Tuesday. I wish it was Wednesday. That would give us an extra day. That would be nice. Maybe we could call it in somehow. But anyway, it's on Tuesday. That's the big day of the year, the appearance day of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So we're looking forward to that. And we're right now in the middle of our festival. This beautiful new poster came in from Nitai Kripa Prabhu in the UK. For the Gaur Purnima, the MSF of New Beginnings. So you can always start over
if you don't like the way that your life is going, start over. I do it all the time. Just say, all right, do over and start over afresh. And so we're starting over. And, you know, it's always good to have a beginner's mind. Pretend that you're just coming into Krishna consciousness for the first time and remember what brought you here in the first place. Hopefully it was some very powerful inspiration, and you can revisit that. And you can revisit it anytime you want. So we're going out distributing books. Last weekend we sold an unprecedented number of sets of Chaitanya Charitamritas just in one weekend. I don't know how many there were, Molly. 26 we sold last weekend?
No, the total is
26. Total is the goal.
We distributed
26. And how many do we have? 4,000 books total. So how are you doing on that?
So 26 CC sets. 26 CC sets in terms of points will come to close to 1,800 points. So we still have about 2,200 more books or points to do.
And two more weekends?
Yes, two more weekends. Okay. And maybe around 3,500 more Lakshmi also.
Okay, so this is a big weekend coming up. And the weather's been beautiful and people have been in a really good mood. We went out last weekend and went door to door. And we found that people are waiting for us, actually. They're waiting behind those doors. One person opened the door within 2 seconds after I knocked and was very eager to donate and to take books and everything. And so let's not keep them waiting. That'll be organized this weekend. And also there's Harinam this Friday, is that correct?
It's on next weekend.
The weekend after this?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Temple cleaning Saturday. So this is a big event. It's not just temple cleaning. Ramananda Sukha is going to tell us the magnitude of this event. Go ahead, Ramananda Sukha.
We have an exciting event this Saturday, which is cleaning up. The sound is... there is a lot of echo here.
I'm going to turn it down.
So we are preparing for moving to the new temple. We are going to identify all the things that we need to move to the new temple and clean them this Saturday. And we are going to identify all the things that can be trashed, which will trash it. And we'll also identify all the things that can be sold out, that can be sold, so that we will put them for sale. And everything that we identify for moving to the new temple, we will clean them thoroughly, so, because we don't want to move dirty stuff there. And everything that can be boxed now, we'll box them and keep them in the sheds, which we will take it at the time of moving. Everyone is welcome. We need a lot of participation from all the devotees. The event timings are from 11 o'clock in the morning of Saturday to 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. or till the event ends. There will be jumper for the kids, and all the parents are welcome to come with their kids. And there will be prasadam as well for everyone.
Sounds like fun. 11 to 6, we'll just... getting everything ready, throwing out a lot of things that we don't need. And if you need anything, you should hang around because there's a lot of extra stuff. I remember when we moved from the first location, which was on, even before you, on New Jersey Avenue, and there were tons of things by the curbside. Good stuff. I still have a few of them. So come on by. And it'll be nice to help get organized and help get moving over to the new temple. Yes, Damodar.
We also got some more donations. Actually, Mukha Ravinda Prabhu just told me that Varsha Mataji have donated $105 for the ISV new temple.
Haribo Varsha Mataji, all the way in Pune.
And then one more, and see, this is what we are looking forward. So, Lavanya Mataji went to her networks, and then she was able to get a $101 donation just by telling about the new temple.
Ramesh Prabhu? Okay. Who is he? Where is he?
No,
No, it was Ramesh Prabhu, whose wife is known to me. It's nice that if we get an opportunity when we're talking, because I'm not much of a network person, but I know a lot of people here are really good network people. They have a lot of friends and stuff. When we get time to talk to them about the temple and other stuff, it's wonderful to just tell them what we're doing. A lot of times they want to know what we're doing because, you know, we're doing something new, especially with me, doing something totally new for them. So it's good. It's a good conversation starter. And then it's up to them. If they want to give something, make sense to them, then that's great. But that was what Damodar Prabhu keeps telling us. To just go out and just tell people. And if they're interested, they will come forward. Otherwise, they get to know that Mountain View is a big temple. It's coming up and they can come anytime. So, Haribol.
Good job. Well done. Hare Krishna. Okay. So now we have prasadam for everybody. And we have... We'll be able to serve it in this room, I believe. Is that correct? Yeah. So we're going to sing the Bengali prayer written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is remembering that we're honoring prasadam. We're not just eating, but we're taking the Lord's remnants, and this is purifying our existence. Sharira jajaja Jodendriya tahika Jive pile vishaya shagare Karma deti paiti Lobamai sudurmati Take jeta katina shangshare Krishna boradoyamoy Kori bare jihajai Shaprasara nidhi lobai Shayanamrita pao Radha Krishna Gunaga Premi Dako Chaitanya Nita Ma Prasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Swapa Punya Vatam Rajan Vishvaso Naiva Jayate Prasadhe sarvadukhanam Hanirasyopajayate Prasanna chetaso yashu Pudi paryavatishtate Bhagavat Shri Ma Prasad ki jai. Please come take prasadam. So we'll be serving out in this room so everyone can make a place for themselves and the devotees will bring in the prasad. And Ramananda Saka, do you have a cleaning crew for tonight? He's leaving opportunity for three devotees tonight who can stay for a few minutes to help clean up. Hare Krishna.